Over the weekend, a cry and a moan from Boston and some Republican Party leaders who wanted to change the channel.
Our party has to quit availing itself to biased moderators and companies that put on television, you know, in this particular case, documentaries and miniseries about a particular candidate that we all know is gearing up to run for president, and that's Hillary Clinton.
That's Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus explaining why the GOP is pulling their partnership with CNN and NBC and not allowing the networks to air any 2016 Republican primary candidate debates. He was explaining it there to CNN's Candy Crowley last week, who might have been arguably the only really effective network moderator in the 2012 debates, but even that is up for debate now. The GOP is up in arms because the entertainment division of NBC and a division of CNN called CNN Films have commissioned separately works that document the career of Hillary Rodham Clinton. The GOP believes the networks cannot be objective, and so they will agree to debate on other network platforms. Reince Priebus is essentially endorsing a position long held by radio host Rush Limbaugh.
For my whole life, what I've been hearing, well, Rush, it is what it is. I mean, guy running for president, if he's going to act like he's afraid of NBC, then how's he going to deal with Al-Qaeda? Or if a guy's going to act like he's afraid of Wolf Blitzer and CNN, how's he going to deal with being president? That's not the question anymore. The question is, why should the Republicans actively participate in something designed to defeat them?
Well, she loves hot political rhetoric as much as anyone I know. With much more on this story, Kathleen Hall Jamieson, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Kathleen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about this idea that if this goes farther than this little dust-up over Hillary Clinton documentaries and films on NBC and CNN, we could be looking at a 2016 situation where networks have party affiliations and air debates or events solely on the basis of their association with a candidacy or a party. Would that be unprecedented? Would that be damaging? Would that be more honest than the way we do things now?
Actually, if you take a look at the questions asked in the debates in the last election, in the primary season, and you just threw them all on the table, regardless of sponsor, and you said, now see if you can sort those questions back by channel, you wouldn't be able to do it. The people who host debates are journalists. They're first-rate journalists, and they don't tend to ask questions biased by party.
So within the news division, there is objectivity, but if there is a sort of full-scale brand look at this, which is what the GOP is trying to do. We don't care if it's your entertainment division, NBC. In corporate terms, NBC supports Hillary Clinton. Therefore, we're going to deny your so-called objective news division any access to our primaries. What do you think of that?
I'd be really surprised if it could actually be enforced. For practical purposes, the candidates are going to go where they can reach the target voter. And to the extent that they're advantaged by going to a venue that reaches a certain kind of voter, that is the natural voter who gravitates toward that channel's other programming, they're likely to go there. So the putative front runner, the likely nominee, is going to want to be starting to look to the general election. He or she is going to be wanting to start to attract independent voters and to speak to those who are leaning toward Democrats but are persuasive. That person is probably more likely to want to be on a channel that is not Fox. On the other hand, while they're trying to mobilize their supporters, because the channel that hosts the debate promotes the debate a lot, it's likely to be attracting those who are consistent with the presumed ideology. That person who's trying to mobilize the constituency and the base is more likely to want to be on a debate in Fox. I don't think they're going to listen to Reince Priebus. I think they're going to listen to the call of the polls.
Do you think Fox is predisposed to the GOP and by implication that MSNBC is predisposed towards the Democrats?
In the non-news programming, you have opinion talk shows on each side that, yes, are predisposed toward the nominee of one party or the other. But when you come into the hard news venues and when you come into the hosting of debates, until you get into the opinion sections, I think you reasonably can say that those are news programs. Those aren't party spokespeople. I, however, would really like to see a debate moderated by Rush Limbaugh. I bet it would attract a very, very large audience of people regardless of party. Not sure it would advantage the candidates, but I think it would draw an audience.
Well, I'm intrigued by your laugh there because we all love entertainment. But again, does entertainment serve the educational value of the electorate? I mean, you can make the argument that the entire primary process, if it had just been canceled, would have probably done Mitt Romney a lot better than the way it turned out.
The advantage to the electorate of having a lot of debates, and I know that candidates don't like a lot of debates, particularly as they move up in the polls and are more likely to be the nominee, but the advantage to the electorate is that the electorate learns gradually across time, particularly where the party as a whole stands. By listening to that range of Republican candidates across that lengthy period of time, or in 2008, both the Democratic and Republican candidates, you were able to get a sense of where the center point within each party was. That's a really important part of learning about what we need to vote. What is the party tending toward? What is it likely to do? Debates are useful because they increase knowledge, but the truth is most people aren't drawn to them because they're going to learn. They're drawn to them because there's going to be an entertainment piece of them, and that's just fine as long as the learning takes place in the process.
Listen to this final comment here from Reince Priebus, the head of the Republican National Committee.
The fact of the matter is, I've got to protect this party and our nominees. We don't want a whole lot of 23 debate rounds like we've had before. And I would just say that entities like NBC and CNN that are moving forward with four-part miniseries about Hillary Clinton are not going to take part in our debates. And look, if you're not going to have 23 debates, these guys are making it a lot easier for us to pare that down to a reasonable number in front of people and entities that actually give a darn about the future of the Republican Party.
You were also waiting to...
What's your response to that? I mean,
he's confusing two issues. You're likely to have 23 debates because the candidates are willing to debate. Anytime the candidate, particularly the front runner, said no more debates, the debates stop. It's not about what the party wants. It's about what the candidate with the power to make the decision wants. Romney ended the debates by simply saying no. He could have done it earlier. He didn't think it was to his strategic advantage. They're going to continue to debate until strategically it's not in their best interest to debate. And they'll find a venue to do it because there will be a potential audience somewhere.
Do audiences want to see miniseries about Hillary Clinton? And does that affect their vote when you're looking at a political debate in a campaign?
There's no evidence that miniseries in the past have affected votes, but you'd have to see the content of the miniseries to know. I can imagine a miniseries that makes it very difficult for Hillary Clinton to become president. I think one should wait and see what the content looks like.
Or wait for the miniseries on Herman Cain. That would have been an interesting one, that's for sure.
Or in the past, you've had important pieces of propaganda for candidates, and I can see as a result a concern. The PT-109, for example, print story helped launch the Kennedy candidacy in 1960.
Kathleen Hall Jamison is director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much, as always.
You're welcome.
All this hour, we've been talking about the great American taco. We want to know, how do you like your tacos?
This is Lindsay Krause. I live in Edina, Minnesota, and we love ground turkey and black beans with fresh garlic and chili powder sauce, diced cucumbers, shredded radishes, fresh tomatoes and lettuce, and salsa and sour cream.
Let's go over to Lindsay's house. Mazuma is from Jamaica and lives in the Bronx, writes, I would prefer halal tacos. However, I've eaten soft halal tacos. Obviously homemade. I like meat, jalapenos, cheese, lots of onions, little garlic and ginger and cilantro. Up here in North Dakota, one of our listeners named Moira writes, it is popular to make tacos with Native American fry bread. Some people even eat it with bison meat. Samantha from Hollywood, I will sing praises to whoever invented tacos in a Dorito shell. Give us your take. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Send us a tweet at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. And today, this is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.